So we come to the end of our 90-day Paschal season, 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Easter. And 50 is a significant number, not as much as 40. We know that 40 is a big number in the Bible and in the liturgy. But 50 is significant too. It's a week of weeks. 7 days times 7 is 49, plus Sunday is 50. So you have that 6 days of creation, the seventh day of the Lord's Sabbath rest, and then the eighth day, which is the first day of the new and eternal creation. So the 50 days of Easter, Pentecost, is kind of a liturgical symbol of that great day that never has a sunset, eternity. And we have been, through the power of the Holy Spirit, invited into that eternal life of God. So the great river of life and love that flowed out from God in creation has, in the resurrection and ascension and Pentecost, reversed its flow, and it returns now to the Father, where Jesus is already sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he turns and beckons us to follow him. As we said last week in the opening prayer, where he has gone, we hope to follow. Because nothing Jesus ever did was to be admired or to say, I'm this and you're not. He's always saying, and you are too. You are children of God. So you pray, Our Father, just like I do. Because you're invited into divine life. You're invited into a sharing, a participation in the very life of the Trinity. So the Ascension and Pentecost, as we said last week, are really one event that we kind of parcel out into two celebrations in our human way of thinking, but it's all one thing. The sending of the Spirit and the Ascension are, one makes the other possible. It's like the chicken or the egg, which comes first? It's one moment. Now, the Spirit, the role of the Spirit is always about sending. The gospel says that the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert after his baptism. He was sent out to do that human thing in a divine way, of course, but that very human thing that is a transformation, a change of existence from one way of looking at things to another, a death to one and a rising to something else. And what Jesus is doing in the desert is he is discerning his vocation. He is recognizing more fully in a human way that he is God's son and that he has a mission that involves his death. That there is a human dying to self out there in the desert, which is a participation in the eternal divinity of the Son, which is self-denial. There is no selfishness in God. There is no self-concern in God. It is the nature of the eternal Son to lay his life down for the other two. That's who he is. And in a human way, Jesus comes to grips with that out in the desert. The same Spirit sends us on a lifelong vocation to be in the desert, to recognize that this is not our eternal homeland, that we are wandering around this wasteland called the earth, that this isn't our true home. Our true home is in heaven. And so the essence of Christian life, the essence of divine life, participation in the Son, is to die to this world, to let go of all that this world values, because that's building up the false self in me. It's building up this imaginary self that God didn't create, but I'm creating in my own mind, that worries and fears about comparisons, that fears insecurity, that fears rejection. Because you see, in the Trinity, all is acceptance. There is no fear in God. There is no rejection in God. There is no division in God. And yet this world glories in divisions. It honors division. It's interesting, there are so many readings over this Pentecost weekend. We only got to hear three of them. But I want to remind you that the first reading last night at the Vigil Mass was the Tower of Babel story. And we all know that story. These people are building a tower and a city, and they say to themselves, we are so great, we're going to build a tower taller than anybody else's. You see, comparison and division. And we're going to build a city so strong that no one will be able to attack it. It's the fear. It's the anxiety. These are all the result of sin. They have nothing to do with God. And then finally, they're cutting God out of the picture. They're getting into self-reliance. We will take care of our security and our comparisons ourselves. And God comes down and divides their languages so that they don't understand each other, and they're unable to complete the city or the tower, and they are spread throughout the earth. And of course, it's a kind of a biblical story that explains how we get different languages and different races and different cultures and all that sort of thing. It's all about sin. Sin is about division. The original sin of Adam and Eve, who lived in a garden of harmony, a garden of unity, where God was one with them and they were one with all of creation. And they destroyed that harmony, they destroyed that unity by taking charge of themselves and by willfully making their own lives, their own selves, instead of accepting themselves from God. And so by the time you get to you and me, the world glories in this division. The world is so filled with sin that it's harder to talk about love than hatred. It's often been said hatred unites more powerfully than love. And so we demonize our enemies, we dehumanize our enemies, we turn them into something evil that they're not, so that we can more powerfully hate them. Let's face it. The Russians and the Arabs are going to heaven too. KU fans are children of God. I don't want to push that too far, but the world glories in division. But we Christians are the ones who need to get a grip. We're the ones who need to laugh at that and say, you know, we're all God's children. And I need to learn how to glory in someone else's sameness with me. We're all part of the same project. We all have the same goal. We all have the same God. We're all part of the bigger picture together. The destruction of this false self that fears, that compares, that obsesses about security, that obsesses about self, that's what sin is. And again, there is no self-concern in God, and we are in God. You know, at the baptismal rite, it says, this child is now called a child of God, for so indeed she is. We, through the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we have been transformed into children of God. We are heirs of the kingdom. We share in divine life. And we need to let go of all the things that fight against that. We need to let go of our self-obsession and have that laying down of our lives attitude that Jesus had, and that acceptance of the Father's will. It's so characteristic of Jesus to hang on the cross, offering himself as a sacrificial offering, and to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And Father, not my will be done, but yours. This is the essence of Christian life. This is who we are, and we need to constantly allow ourselves through the grace of the Holy Spirit to be called back to that and to live that in this world. That's what Christian witness is. That's what Christian witness does.